Welcome to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven, which should be our second season here on the Podbean, off on our own feed off of the Seamheads Network, which is also the seventh year of the actual show, so it's getting old. You know, it's like midlife crisis time for a podcast or something like that. But not for us, because we're young and exciting. I'm half true. That's Tara Wellman over there, our Olympic Tara Wellman, who's back and now doing basketball because she doesn't know how to actually take a breath, I don't think, at times. Find her on Twitter at Tara Wellman. I'm Daniel Shoptaw. C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. You could tell we're kind of winging it tonight, getting back into this this thing we call baseball talk.
What I can tell you is that we're in the best shape of our lives.
That's right. That's right. Because round is a shape, from what I understand. So, we're definitely...
Spring training, man. Gotta at least claim it.
That's right. It's spring training for us, too. We've already had to restart because I can't figure out the name of the show. So, we're just kind of... We're getting our swings in. We're getting ready. We're kind of... Finding
just working on some stuff.
That's right. We're working on some stuff. Just like apparently every Cardinal pitcher is working on some stuff. At least that's what you want to say when all the ERAs are, higher than the temperatures, it seems like. The one that seems to be giving people the most concern overall is the fact of Miles Mikolas, who... was really bad his first time out, was pretty bad his second time out. He's throwing strikes, but they're being hit. It's two spring training starts. It's, I guess, about four innings of work. Where's your level of concern on him right now?
I answered this question on Twitter a day or so ago by saying I was concerned when he wasn't Chris Archer. So from the beginning. But I think, it's tough. He's coming back into this league and trying to find his place with a new team. And there are a lot of moving parts. There are a lot of factors there. I always find it a bit strangely comedic when a pitcher goes from, giving up what, six runs in an inning and a third, to giving up whatever the last outing was, four runs in two innings, and saying that, no, I felt better about that. But I mean, did you though? Was it actually better? Was there, it's two spring training starts. It's not a whole lot of information to base anything on, but it's also not a particularly inspiring start when you're looking at a rotation that has had question marks since last season coming into this year, and it seems that Mikolas was the one move, really, to shore up that starting rotation, and I think that there's an argument to be made there about whether or not that was ever going to be enough. But it's not great to see that one guy who realistically is there to take on the kinds of innings that we saw out of Lance Lynn, because there's no one else to fill those innings right now. And he's struggling to get through one or two. Granted, again, there's always the caveat of it's spring training. But I don't think any one of those guys that has struggled in the last couple of weeks is happy about the struggles, whether it's spring training or not. And Miles is one of those guys that is really going to have to figure it out, or the Cardinals are going to perhaps be in a bit more of a bind than they were anticipating early in the year, or having to rely on some of those young, unproven pitchers. Again, perhaps sooner into the season than they were expecting to.
I think a lot of this, for me right now, for just looking at this, it's like, not great. You don't want to see this, but if Lance Lynn was still on this team and he went out and put up two outings that were about like this, people might not like it, but they wouldn't really be, you know, being like crazy, like let's void his contract type crazy, which is what you see on Twitter at this time of year. It's because we know what Lance Lynn can do.
Right.
We've seen what Lance Lynn, we have familiarity with Lance Lynn. You know, Mikolas at best was an interesting sighting. Some would say, you know, other words, I guess, for that sighting when it came around. But, you know, I could see what they're doing. I mean, it made sense to, in some degrees, but it was a gamble. There's no doubt about it. And when the gamble doesn't immediately pay off, then you don't have that, you know, history to fall back on. You know, I think you're right. I think a lot of it is just getting acclimated. Like, you know, they've said over, you know, you can do some of this contact stuff in Japan because, you know, people are more likely to, you know, you're fouling your pitches off. You're not hitting the ball out of the ballpark as much. I mean, they've obviously got power hitters over there, but, and it's just getting adjusted to a different league and a different brand of style of baseball. I wouldn't terribly be surprised if he had a very rough spring training and maybe a first couple of starts even in April didn't turn out well, but then as he gets more experience, the second half, you know, more than that, you know, maybe, you know, from May on, being fairly good. Whether that's enough to erase these first impressions or not, it's a totally different story, but
Cardinals fans do hold on to their first impressions.
Yes. you know,
it's one of our more endearing qualities.
We have so many. but I think that, yeah, I think there's going to be times where we're going to look up at the end of the year and his stats are going to be pretty good. And we're going to be a little bit, you know, and we might be like, wow, how was he this good? Or, you know, I didn't think he was because he kept getting shelled or whatever like that.
And the thing about a guy like Mikolas, is that in some regards, it's kind of like the Ozuna signing where it came on the heels of the possibility of Giancarlo Stanton. Mm-hmm. So while I don't think anyone, I mean, I'm not comparing the two as far as what they bring to the team. But the reality is almost anyone in the game is a bit of a step down from Giancarlo Stanton as far as a dynamic franchise-changing player. So when the Cardinals are out there rumored to be in the conversation for a guy like Chris Archer, and then they go out and get Miles Mikolas from Japan, it leaves a little bit to be desired as far as the aggressiveness of the front office and the way that they're trying to fill some of those holes. So while I will continue to beat the Chris Archer drum, I think that it's a little bit unfair to expect that kind of talent, that kind of success from someone who was never really projected to be that guy. They need someone to fill to eat up innings, and he doesn't have to be the guy that goes out and pitches eight scoreless every night, because he's not going to be. Mm-hmm. Every team has those guys in their rotation as well, and that's okay. I think the concern is the Cardinals have more than one of those guys right now in their rotation. So the makeup of the roster continues to be more of a problem than this one individual player himself.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. Because there's a whole bunch of angst about a whole lot of things. And sometimes it all just boils out on one target at times.
Right.
And that's the easy one right now. you know, that being said, like I said, everybody has struggled. Jack Flaherty had a good first start, got really shelled in his second start. Adam Wainwright, you don't know. I mean, Adam Wainwright seemed okay. Not, you know, there was some optimism there. And then, you know, I'm seeing where Kyle Reese was saying that the gun in the ballpark was a little warm. So his 90s might not have been 90s, but more like, you know, upper 80s, which is still better than the Wainwright that you and I saw in that game against
where his
the
high was like 72.
Yeah, something
it was like
that.
Slow pitch softball, Adam Wainwright.
and you know, and Wainwright, Wainwright struggled with his control in this, struggled with his control, which is pretty much what everybody has struggled with this. You know, Carlos Martinez was wild in his outing. I think Nicholas, not as much with him, he's just throwing strikes that are getting hit, but everybody else seems to be struggling. And I'm wondering, again, this is a bit of a change overall philosophy-wise with the addition of Mike Maddux.
Yep.
Talking about pitching up in the zone after decades of the Cardinals, you know, ground ball pitcher type thing. I just wonder how much that's going to play into some of these early struggles as they try to adapt to some new philosophies that they're being taught.
Yeah, I was just, no shock, just going to bring that up. but I do think that there's something to that. We kind of joke about the they're working on stuff cliche, mm-hmm. because that seems to be the catch-all for any time someone struggles in spring training. It's because they're working on stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that it isn't accurate or that it isn't relevant. It just... It doesn't really mean anything because it's so used in just about any situation. That said, I do think it's fair to sort of caveat some of these struggles with the fact that they're all working in a bit of a new environment and a new process. I have no way of knowing how much is changing as far as that dynamic or what the what the focus is for these guys as they're going out in their spring training starts, because it's a new step for all of them with Maddux there and implementing whatever his spring training strategy is with these guys. And he's still trying to get to know them as well, trying to push them and see how far they can be pushed and, you know, where their breaking points are and what happens when they get in trouble so that he knows what he's looking for. All of those things come into play. As that entire staff is really trying to get to know one another in a pretty condensed time frame. So, yeah, I do think that all comes into play. I think that that's why it's hard to get too worked up, even over, 19-plus ERA for Miles Mikolas after the first two starts. It's a small sample size, and that is what spring training is. So it's not inspiring, it's not encouraging, and when there were question marks about him and his ability to adapt to the league anyway, he's not really helping his case, but there are a lot of factors that contribute to some of those struggles, and to your point, it may be a bit of a staff-wide thing as they're all trying to make this adjustment.
Yeah, and we'll just have to see. I mean, some of the younger guys have looked okay, but they're not likely to be the ones that are going to be on this team either. So that's a difficult story to know where that line, what matters. Excuse me, going to tickle. Let's shift to another problem that the Cardinals are having away from the pitching staff. We are now, a week plus, 10 games in, basically, into spring training. While there wasn't a whole lot of lead time, we're, you know, two and a half weeks into the spring. Matt Carpenter still has not played a game yet. He's still apparently dealing with back issues, although not dealing with them enough not to be in, like, the laundry hamper trying to scare Adam Wainwright or, you know, being scared by Adam Wainwright. I'm not really sure why they decided to do this, you know, prank war thing, but... whatever, it seems to be working out for Wainwright. At least he doesn't seem to be phased.
Can I just say that I'm not at all surprised that Adam Wainwright is currently winning this contest?
No.
Let's just start there.
But anyway, whatever his pranking abilities, he still hasn't played a ball game yet for the Cardinals, and nobody seems to be terribly concerned. And in reality, Matt Carpenter is a hitter, to the point that he probably doesn't necessarily need just a whole ton of reps to be fairly close to his game. So maybe even if he doesn't get in for another week or two, it's not a big deal. But I don't know. I'm concerned about it a little bit because it just feels like this lineup, and we've complained about Matt Carpenter at times being a clog and being a bit of a, you know, a piece that doesn't necessarily fit. But the way this lineup is constructed right now, he's pretty vital, because you take him out of that, you know, projected third spot, and I don't know how you fill that really well. I mean, is this something to be worried about yet?
Yeah, I mean, I've made the case that, in my mind, I think Matt Carpenter is one of, if not the most important pieces of that lineup, because of the question mark. Mm-hmm. Because if Matt Carpenter goes as he should, the Cardinals will also. If he does not, the Cardinals also will not. And you're right, at times there have been better options, but the Cardinals really made a point to sort of trade off some of those pieces that made Matt Carpenter a redundancy. And now without him there, you really do feel like you're missing something. As far as this spring, I think it would be a little bit naive to not be somewhat concerned about a persistent back issue before he's ever played in a single game. Mostly because of the track record, whether it's the back specifically, or because of the fact that he has a bit of a tendency to play hurt to the detriment of his own game and to the results of his team and not tell anyone about it. And that's not me jumping on the I hate Matt Carpenter bandwagon. That's just the reality that we've seen a couple of times. And I really think it's just the work ethic, and maybe a little bit of a pride factor, because every one of these guys playing at that level believes that they are the best option on any given day, mm-hmm. that you have to be successful at that level. So, of course, that comes into play as well, him wanting to be out there, him thinking that he's the best option, and feeling like if he's not dying, he can probably play through it. The trouble is that when he tries to play through things, sometimes it's worse than letting the guy behind him on the roster take that spot until he's back at least closer to 100%. So, that was a very long-winded and roundabout way of saying, yes, I'm concerned that Matt Carpenter is, apparently not physically in a position to even play a couple of innings to get a couple of at-bats. In live action at this point in the spring. But no, his back isn't bad enough that he isn't jumping around corners trying to scare Adam Wainwright. So he's not crippled. He's just, you know, for whatever reason, they're being a little extra cautious. And maybe it is that track record. Maybe they know this is a thing that can balloon into a more significant issue if they don't kind of force him to take a step back. And it's better to take a step back now than it would be, you know, 3 or 4 weeks into the season when all of a sudden you realize, hey, we probably should have paid attention to this before now.
And also, we have seen in the past Matt Carpenter wear out late in the season.
Yeah.
Or he's dealt with dehydration or, you know, exhaustion or whatever. We've dealt with these things. So, you know, a later start in the spring may help alleviate that a little bit. You know, that being said, though, I think what you're saying there, especially about him playing hurt and playing every day hurt, because that's going to happen with Mike Matheny, it feels like, is the real concern. If he thought, I'm 80%, I'm not going to go, then I don't think we'd worry about it. But you kind of need a healthy Matt Carpenter. Again, I know he's not, he's borne a lot of brunt of fan angst over the last year or so, but when Matt Carpenter is going right, he's huge. And like you said, that's a big key for the Cardinals.
I think part of the reason that he's been the point of frustration for a lot of fans is because we all know what he's capable of. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen that in the last season and a half, perhaps. And it's hard to watch Matt Carpenter be a shell of the Matt Carpenter we've seen in the past, knowing that he really is one of the key pieces of this offense in particular, firing on all cylinders like it has to in order to keep up with some of those teams that have just a bit more natural firepower. Without Matt Carpenter playing up to the level that he's capable of, it puts this team at a real disadvantage, especially if they don't have the strength in on the pitching side of things that they have in the past. I think one of the good things coming into this year is that Jose Martinez is a bit more of a known commodity, and there's a little more wiggle room, a little bit more confidence perhaps on the part of Mike Matheny in utilizing a guy like Martinez more regularly if there is a problem with Matt Carpenter. Now, I think that if you put Martinez in that position every day, it creates some other deficiencies. But it's certainly a way to get Matt Carpenter healthy again, if necessary. But it would all just be better if he could start the year maybe not wrenching his back every time Waino jumps out from around a corner at him. That'd be a good place to start. Nice.
And you're right. I think that's the upside, if you will, is that there are options to replace Matt Carpenter, like Jose Martinez. And for all the good that Jose Martinez can bring to a roster and a lineup, it's just that, you know, we've designed this thing to put three big bats in front of Marcelo Ozuna, and that's not going to be there. Do you move Colton Wong to second, move Pham down to third? Do you move Paul DeJong to third? You know, do you put Jose Martinez, just put him at third, in that third position? You know, there's options and different things, but I don't think any of them work as well, at least on paper, as that lineup of Fowler, Pham, Carpenter, Ozuna that we've kind of come to expect over the offseason, even though that may not be what we're going to get. So, you know, Alan and I on Mimi Mutual last week, we said if Carpenter wasn't playing the home games on Thursday or Friday of this past week, we would be concerned, and he didn't. That being said, the Cardinals are in Jupiter almost all week this week, you know, with some of the road games that they have being against the Marlins, so they don't really count as road games. So if he maybe he'll play sometime this week, and it's just kind of overblown, but if we're talking about it next Sunday and he still hasn't played, I think you're going to have to find some replacement. Now, the good thing is, like we said, the replacements are on the staff. You've got Jose Martinez. You can put, you know, that means you can probably bring a Bader north, or maybe bring somebody else north if you put Carpenter on the DL. You know, they don't have to go out and sign some sort of first baseman to put up those kind of numbers. But it's, you know, something to keep an eye on. And again, it's one of those things, about the time you start noticing it and talking about it, then he'll play like tomorrow and it won't matter. So, I don't know.
But what else are we going to talk about? It's spring training.
Exactly. I mean, you know, if you can't get worked up about the fact that your first baseman hasn't played and your new pitching acquisition can't get anybody out, when are you, I mean, what are you doing? You're obviously not doing spring training right.
Exactly.
All right, let's see what else is going on. I don't know. The Cardinals made their first cuts today. Really, nobody that wasn't expected. I thought it was pretty interesting. They already went and sent two catchers out because, you know, Yadier Molina's going to play every day at spring training too.
Right.
and I say that. But Carson Kelly has gotten a decent amount of time in the spring. And you can't go overboard too much. We'll see what happens during the season, but that's Jordan Schaefer was one of those that was sent to the minor leagues, and as I told you beforehand, I have said plenty about this novelty of Jordan Schaefer and the fact that it would be one of those guys that would use like one time a year and be really pleased with their creativity because it actually got used. Even though he's not much of a pitcher and he's not much of a hitter, where do you stand on Jordan Schaefer?
You know, I fully understand that this is a kid that likely is not going to make a roster at the major league level as either a pitcher or a hitter. But there's part of me that I can appreciate the whimsy of at least letting it be a possibility. You know, it's baseball. You got to have a little fun now and then, right? And if you have the even just the on paper potential of a piece like that, I think it's fine. I mean, it's not really taking a spot away from someone that would have made the team, I don't think. So it is what it is. I think that it's far-fetched, and the last couple of years have sort of proven the fact that it doesn't really seem like it's going to happen. I'm not sure what Jean-Mosé Lac's fascination is with trying to force it to happen, but you know, it's something to talk about. It's something to keep an eye on if you're real bored and talk about in spring training. But I don't think that, you know, to me it's just a thing that happens and then it's going to go away and everyone will go back to their normal lives and move on.
Yeah. I mean, being that he was sent down already, and of course he's coming off Tommy John surgery, there's some issues there as well, but so you're right. He's not likely to take up any spots, and he's probably going to pitch more than he's going to play outfield because, you know, Memphis's outfield is full of batters and Springfield's outfield is full of batters, and there's no place for a guy like that to play on a regular basis. So he'd have to be just, you know, coming out of the bullpen. But I don't know. I mean, I guess if this was, you know, Ohtani from the Angels and, you know, it could really hit and really pitch, then maybe you've got something. But a guy that really doesn't seem to do much of either, it feels like you're trying to game the system, and it's really, really not worth it.
Also, to be fair, I have absolutely zero confidence that Mike Matheny would utilize that kind of flexibility well.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I mean,
even if it were to, by some miracle, work out at some point, and he is, you know, the Cardinals version of Ohtani, I'm a little bit terrified of what that would look like in Mike Matheny-led in-game scenario.
Yeah, I agree. There would be, because, you know, that would just give Mike another reason to let the pitcher hit at a time when the pitcher didn't need to be hitting. Yeah, it could be. Anyway, we're not going to have to worry about it. We're not going to think about it either because, yeah, it wouldn't be a good thing. I guess maybe we just have to trust in Mike Maddox that he would know what to do with him. But
I mean, at this point, I feel more confident in that, whether it's Jordan Schaefer or, you know, actually Adam Wainwright and his maybe 90, maybe not 90 mile an hour fastball.
Yeah, I mean, I guess before we wrap up, I mean, we kind of glazed over that a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, when will you be concerned about Wainwright? I mean, I think everybody's going into this spring with some level of concern, but there's some hope as well. I guess when does your hope die off on Adam Wainwright?
You know, I'm such a fan of Adam Wainwright, the athlete, the competitor, and even more the person, that I think there will always be part of me that is just desperately hoping for one more good year. But there's also a very real part of my brain that is reminding me of the number of seasons consecutively he's come into the spring talking about how healthy he is and ended the season talking about the fact that he was never actually healthy. He's another one that is such a competitor that he thinks he can play through anything, whether it's a good idea or not. And, you know, he's not getting any younger. These injuries aren't going to suddenly start healing faster. And what he has or doesn't have left in the tank is only part of the equation for him right now. he may feel like he is as strong as he's ever been, but he may also take a lot longer to recover after he goes out and throws 100 pitches in five innings. So that's all going to come into play for him. And we talked a lot about him last year and a little about this in particular, that I think for Adam Wainwright to be successful at this point in his career, he's going to have to face up to some of those limitations, and realize that he may not be the ace of the staff kind of pitcher ever again in his career, whether that lasts a year or 2 years, or if he somehow miraculously hangs on longer than that in some form or fashion. But that's okay. His role and his identity as a pitcher within the Cardinals organization can change, and it doesn't lessen anything that he's done up until this point in his career. So there will always be a part of me that's pulling for him to throw a perfect game and lead the team to the World Series and, you know, close out game seven, whatever it is. There will always be that part of me because I'm such a fan of who he is. But I think the reality is it's hard for me to get too excited about Adam Wainwright right now, because I'm just not sure that what he has left in the tank, combined with the inevitable physical limitations, is going to lead to a whole lot of consistency. And if anything, I think we'll see the flashes of Adam Wainwright of old when he's feeling really great one day and doesn't have any lingering aches or pains. But then we're also going to see the Adam Wainwright that struggles to figure out how to beat guys without a 90-plus mile-an-hour fastball. And if he doesn't have the command to go with that, then we're going to see what we saw at the end of last year. So I think it's going to be a matter of consistency. I won't be surprised at all if there are flashes of really great pitching, really great strategy, really great ability to just toy with hitters like he has in the past. But I'm not holding my breath that he's going to be the number one guy on the staff.
it's really interesting when you think about it, you know, because when a pitcher comes up, and what do we talk about? We say he's got to have that consistency. He's got to learn how to be consistent. You know, he's going to have flashes of good and bad. And as a pitcher gets older, that's exactly the same thing we say. And it's absolutely true. Last year, Adam Wainwright had an ERA of what, like 5-something? But he had 8 or 9 outings, and I have to go back and count them up, of scoreless ball. I mean, that he left the game not giving up any runs. It's just that there were 3 or 4 or 5 games where he gave up, like, you know, 7. And that's, you know, kind of a problem. Yeah. So you're right. There's going to be time. And again, for a fifth starter,
right,
that's kind of what you expect. I mean, if he could keep those games to more like 4 or 5, when he gives up runs, he could be a very serviceable fifth starter. He's going to get touched at times. He's going to be one of those guys that, and this may be the kicker as well, that might be the thing he's going to have the quick hook on. You know, you can't let him get 4 1/3 and 2 runners on in a 1-run game and let him try to work out of it so he can get the win. You can't do that anymore with Adam Wainwright. Not if you want to win that ball game that day. Because, you know, every once in a while he might be able to get out of it, but odds are not in your favor.
And I think Mike Maddux might really come into play as far as that's concerned, because he does not have that relationship with Adam Wainwright that Mike Matheny does. It's going to be a lot more plausible for him to tell Mike, look, I don't care how good of friends you guys are, he's got nothing. Go get him. And I think that he has the ability, he has the position, he has, he's not one of Mike's guys. That gets overused as well, but there's a point to what I'm saying. He's not one of the guys that came in with Mike Matheny. He wasn't handpicked by Mike. He wasn't one of those guys that it seems like might make suggestions, but but they were always up for debate. I think there's a we've heard a lot about this over the offseason, that some of those decisions are not going to be up to Mike Matheny this year. And as far as Adam Wainwright is concerned, I think that's a good thing, because as much as Mike wants to be able to separate the friend from the manager, I don't think he's done a very good job of that in some cases, and I think Adam Wainwright is one of them, especially from the perspective of a former catcher. You know, yeah, he always thinks he can get his guy through one more inning. Mm-hmm. And that's been one of his biggest downfalls, because it backfires more often than it doesn't. So for Adam Wainwright, it might be the very best thing at this stage in his career to have someone like Mike Maddox come in, who doesn't have that sort of longevity of the relationship, to be able to just step in and say, no, I don't care how you feel, I don't care what you think you can will yourself through, you're done.
Yeah, that's an absolutely very good point, because Maddox is going to be able to have a little bit more objectivity to this than anybody else would be able to. So I think it's going to be fun. And of course, it's going to be fun this year when any pitching move that works out, everybody's going to come say, hey, great move, Maddox. And any pitching move that doesn't work out, say, Matheny, why didn't you listen? You know,
yeah.
That's just the way that this is going to work out. I mean, Mike's in a no-win situation, I think, to some degree. So unless he can, you know, say, well, he wanted to say do this, but I wanted to do this, and it worked, you know, but it's not likely to come out that way. So,
you know what? If Mike Matheny can get a World Series ring as a manager because he had Mike Maddox to pull someone like Adam Wainwright out of the game, I think he'll take the heat from Twitter.
I think he'd manage. I think so. So, all right. Well, we've taken our time for tonight. Tara and I should be back with you next week, as we get just that much closer to opening day. I mean, we're talking, 3 weeks from Thursday, 3.5 weeks from now. The games will start counting, and the complaining will really start in earnest, because that's just the way we are, unfortunately. So, until then, for Tara, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.